Hi, Odyssey fans. I'm Jesse, editor of Adventures in Odyssey Clubhouse Magazine.
And I'm Bob, producer of the Odyssey Adventure Club.
Welcome to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Today on the podcast, we're hearing from Bill Pagerin. Bill is the founder of Carry the Cure, the ministry in Alaska that inspired Wooten's three-part adventure.
He's also the basis for the character of Will in those episodes.
And his son Rain played Rain
Makes sense.
In the final scene of the adventure. Since Bill is so crucial to this series, we wanted to talk to him about the true story behind it.
I wanted to talk to him too, but I was out of town when you called.
Yeah, and do you want to tell everyone where you were?
Hawaii. I was trying to visit places that became states in 1959. Alaska and Hawaii are the only options. And after listening to The Cure, I already felt like I'd visited Alaska.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Anyway, I enjoyed hearing from Bill. I didn't realize how much of the episode was based on his real-life story.
Oh, really? Well, I can't wait to hear it. Let's listen.
Bill, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Yeah, hey, my pleasure.
So let's start out with Alaska and what it was like for you growing up in Alaska.
Well, growing up in Alaska was really cold, but, you know, that's to be expected. With Alaska, there are so many great things about it. The beautiful mountains, lots of fishing, lots of great outdoor activities from hunting, fishing, to skiing and sledding, and so there was never a lack of things to do in the outdoors. As a kid, that was exciting. Alaska is also known as the land of the midnight sun. In the summer, it's like the sun never goes down.
But then in the winter, you had the opposite issue, right? A lot of darkness, a lot of long nights, right?
Yeah, exactly. In the winter, we would only have like about 3.5 hours of sunlight.
Wow.
So then you spend a lot of time indoors playing games, whether board games or video games, or, you know, you just kind of find stuff to do indoors.
In The Cure, Will says that it was hard being a kid in Alaska 20 years ago, but that they're struggling even more today. Can you explain what he meant by that?
There has definitely been an increase of domestic violence and different types of abuses. I think that the further we get away from our traditional values as Native people are very similar to biblical values. You know, we talk about, you know, integrity, we talk about honesty and valuing people, you know, valuing our mom and dad and those sorts of things. And so with this newer age, I guess, of technology and all, it just seems like people have gotten away from traditional and even biblical values. And because of that, there's been an increase in domestic violence. So I guess that's what I mean, that it's tougher for kids today.
I remember, I think it was 6 or 7 years ago, I was speaking at a youth event in Anchorage, and I did notice a darkness and a heaviness amongst the kids there. What combination of factors led you to start Carry the Cure?
Well, I started Carry the Cure because when I was young, I suffered through depression, through darkness. I was rejected, abandoned, and just hurt in many different ways. And when Jesus came into my life, I experienced freedom. I experienced joy, and I experienced life that I didn't even know was possible. And I started Carry the Cure because I knew that Jesus was the cure for depression and for suicide. And God so radically changed my life, it's like I really couldn't help myself. I had to share the joy that God has given me, the freedom that He has given me, specifically for kids, because when I go to different communities, like in Village, Alaska, a lot of times the children are not even with their moms and dads. They're given away to grandma or uncles or aunts because, you know, maybe mom and dad are having such a hard time that they can't even take care of their own kids. Hmm. And because I experienced that and I got through on the other side, it's like, oh, you know, I want to do anything and everything I can to help others experience joy, to experience healing from past hurts.
And how long have you been doing that?
Well, I've been doing Carry the Cure since 1998. When I returned from Nashville, I was playing, recording, touring Christian music in different bands in Nashville. When I moved back to Alaska, I started right away with Carry the Cure.
Well, I know that the music and traditions of the Alaskan people play a role in what you do. How did you get attached to music early in your life?
Well, before I became a Christian, I played music. I played, like, throughout high school. I played in bands, and I played in the symphony, the Anchorage Symphony and the Fairbanks Symphony. And each year we would take these tours to Village, Alaska, to share music and to encourage the arts. And afterwards, the kids were invited to come check out the instruments and that sort of thing. Well, at the very end of the demonstrations, it seemed like the children would just swarm around the drums. And I would have like 20, 30, sometimes even more kids around the drums. And that just really impacted me because, you know, the drum is a huge part of the culture and the music in Alaska. So then later, when I gave my heart to the Lord, I just kept remembering, like, how these kids were so drawn to the drums and percussion. I would pray, you know, to the Lord. I was like, Lord, give me a chance to go back to those villages so that I could share my testimony, so that I could share your love with those hurting kids out there in the villages. It just stuck with me, and it was a big part of the reason I designed Carry the Cure the way that I did and why we use music, because it just draws them in, and that becomes a launching pad to our message to commit to life.
When you look back on the years of ministry since 1998 and just reflecting on what God has done, do any experiences stand out, maybe stories that you like to tell?
One of the things that has really just impacted me and I share with others is I do these Committed to Life school assemblies throughout Alaska, and, you know, it can get tiring sometimes. But one time I was kind of feeling tired, and I was just walking through a mall in Anchorage, Alaska, and I was asking the question, Lord, am I really doing any good? So I'm walking through the mall, and then probably about, like, I think about like 30 yards away, there's this young native girl who starts yelling at me. And, you know, she goes, hey, you're the guy. And I look behind me, I look around me, and there's no other guys around me at that point. And she goes, yeah, you're the guy. And she starts running to me, and I'm like going, uh-oh, what did I do? And she comes up and she says, hey, don't you do those school assemblies? I said, yeah, I do. And so she said, well, hey, you came to my village. And she said, I was down, I was depressed, and I was about ready to just, you know, call it quits. And she said that you did this illustration with this $20 bill, you tried to destroy it, you stepped on it, you spit on it, you tore it, and then at the end, you said that we're like that, and that the lie would say that we're no good, but the truth is, and then you straightened out that $20 bill, that we are valuable, and that whether we've been hurt, abused, or any of that stuff, we are valuable. And then you gave it, you picked me out of the whole crowd, and you gave me that $20 bill. And then she said, wait a minute. She goes, she pulls this $20 bill out of her purse, and she said, this is the same $20 bill that you gave me in that school assembly. And she said, and I will never spend it. And she said, you know, when I have a bad day, I just look at it, and I remind myself that God fearfully and wonderfully and beautifully created me. And she goes on to tell me that she's doing well and just all these great things she starts sharing with me. And I mean, I walked away from that so encouraged. I mean, I have to admit, I cried some because I was just like, oh, thank you, Lord. I guess I'll continue doing what I'm doing. That's definitely one of those stories that sticks out.
Well, you know, the $20 bill example, of course, fans who hear The Cure will hear a character do something very similar, inspired by your experiences. Let's talk about Odyssey for a minute. You know, when I took over, Bill, as producer of the Odyssey Adventure Club last spring, you were already on board. The team had already flown out to visit you. Dave was working on story ideas. So tell us how you were approached to have Carry the Cure featured in a special club episode.
Well, I think that was pretty much a miracle because my son, Rain, is the hugest Adventures in Odyssey fan ever. He has this book, this catalog, that every time he listens to an episode, he checks it off, and he works hard to save money so he can buy more episodes. Anyway, so there was this competition or this invitation that you guys had. I think it was a couple years ago. You invited Adventures in Odyssey listeners to audition for an episode. So my son did that, and he was real excited and hopeful that he would get chosen, and he didn't. And he was kind of sad, but we encouraged him. We just said, you know, Rain, God always goes above and beyond and better than we think. And there's something else that he has in store for you. And so we did our best to encourage him and all. But then shortly after that, I get this call. We're on vacation. I answer the phone, and it's Brock Eastman. He says, hey, this is Brock Eastman from Adventures in Odyssey. And, you know, so he starts telling me he'd heard about Carry the Cure and that you guys would like to consider doing an episode based on Carry the Cure. I had to ask Brock, because Rain, my son, is such an Adventure in Odyssey fan, I said, hey, Brock, do me a favor. Can you wake my son up? Can you tell him who you are and what you're calling about? And I gave the phone to my son, and of course, you know, Brock said, he's from Adventures in Odyssey and all, and my son just about jumped out of the bed and hit the roof in the hotel. It was so crazy. That was the beginning of discussing the possibility of doing an episode and featuring Carry the Cure. It was such a great encouragement to my son, Rain, and to us, too, in Carry the Cure.
So even though he didn't win getting the show, he still got in the show because your son got to play a small part. What was that experience like for him?
Oh, my goodness. Well, not only did he get to be in the show, but he got to be himself. And so, again, it was just like one of those things, how God goes above and beyond what we expect and think and dream. And he has just been on cloud nine. He's, you know, really been able to use that as a tool to share with his non-Christian friends, you know, about Adventures in Odyssey and these great tales and stories and episodes that you have. And, of course, that he's even featured in one now, or a part of one.
Well, and you are, although we changed the name because we did change some of the facts for dramatic purposes. So instead of Bill Pagaran, he is Will Baccarin. But Will Baccarin is based on you. When you read the script for the first time, did it feel strange getting a sense of somebody else running your ministry?
Well, in a way, it was kind of strange. Now, the name didn't bother me because hardly no one pronounces my name right anyway. But when I was reading the script, it was cool because you guys did such a great job. I felt like I was there. I was like reliving some of the adventures that we've had in our village outreach and on the Iditarod outreach. So it really wasn't too strange for me. I have to admit, we laughed, we cried, and we didn't get mad at all. You guys did a great job.
Well, when creating stories inspired by real people and events, which is not always the case with club stories, but it does happen once in a while, we often need to take some dramatic license along the way. So which aspects of the character and the story reflect things that actually happened?
I guess one part of the episode that actually happened was the school assembly, where in the episode you introduce one of the elders. We honored the elder with a gift, and then he shared back with the school assembly and with us, and he gave us a word, Ugaikwan, which means lift your head, for there's much to live for. And that was a real thing that happened along the trail. And, of course, the other thing that really stood out as, you know, something that really happens is, like, you know, we get stranded sometimes. We go out and we have a plan of, like, which villages we're going to visit. And sometimes the weather changes and we get stranded in a place for a while. And rather than worrying or panic, we take advantage of that time to really be an encouragement and blessing to those around us.
We counted on you to help us make sure we had the details right. Everything from pronouncing Alaskan words to facts about wildlife. How did we do?
You guys did great. You know, I was really proud of just how you did that. You honored Alaskans by just going through that much effort to make sure that you were pronouncing names correctly and depicting some of the traditions in the right way. And you did a great job. Alaskans will really enjoy the episodes, and I don't think that they'll have anything negative to say. I think they'll just, like, go, wow, they did it right. They said it right.
Well, we appreciate you teaming up with us and letting us tell your story. How can we be praying for you and for Carry the Cure, Bill?
You know, Carry the Cure is able to be a success, first of all, if our families are healthy and our families doing well. So my first request would just be that you would pray for my family as the leader of Carry the Cure, that you'd pray for my wife, Amanda, and my children, Aria and Rain, and myself. So I guess the family is the priority. And like some of the villages that are mentioned in the episodes, to just be praying for the children there and the families there.
Bill, just recently, the Odyssey Adventure Club went global, which means that friends all over the world can sign up for it, including Canada. And I know that about half of your ministry is actually to the people of Canada. Isn't that true?
Yes, that is true. I am excited about Adventures in Odyssey going globally, because then our Canadian friends will get to hear what's going on and the exciting episodes like The Cure.
Thanks so much, Bill. God bless you guys.
Hey, God bless you too.
Oh, nice job on that interview, Bob.
Thanks. Bill's a great guy, and I'm glad that we can support his ministry through the club. Jesse, did you know that Carry the Cure was able to buy new sound equipment just because of donations from the Adventure Club?
Wow, that's really cool. So now that the cure is over, what's next on the Adventure Club?
Well, next we've got something we haven't heard on Odyssey in a long time.
Which is?
Well, let's hear a preview.
Next month on the Odyssey Adventure Club, join us at the Odyssey Courthouse for a special edition of BTV Investigates.
You promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
So help me God.
Your Honor, I object.
Connie has a parking ticket, and Eugene is her counsel for the defense.
To what could you object?
The use of the word truth.
Don't miss BTV's exploration of truth. Next month, only on the Odyssey Adventure Club.
That's true. We haven't heard a BTV episode since about 2007.
Well, BTV To Tell the Truth premieres in just a few days on May 1st.
I'll be listening. Well, that's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation of Focus on the Family.
Visit us online at witsend.org/podcast or call us at 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day is an adventure.